Welcome back to the Teaching in Tech podcast for Season 3 with Alan and Chad, where we continue to explore everything related to teaching, learning, and technology integration. Working with teachers, we see amazing things happening in classrooms every day. In each episode, we'll detail teaching strategies and technology integration ideas that are working. Also, special guests will join us to share strategies that have been successful with students. All right, so we are back for another season of Teaching in Tech with Alan and Chad, and this is season 3 already, Alan. I can't believe it.
Oh, I know. 2 years have flown by, and we're opening up with a big one.
Another year and another job title for you as well.
Yeah. Well, still working at the same building with you. Glad to be back working more closely with you, Chad. So looking forward to a good year.
Curriculum instruction principal, you're on your way to the top.
Well, we'll slow down there.
So for our first episode this year, we have a very special guest joining us who really in Northeast Ohio among teachers probably needs no introduction, but he is the technology integration specialist at Spark at the Stark Portage Area Computer Consortium. He's also a nationally known speaker at technology conferences across the country and really even internationally known to a certain extent. He's the curator of the Control Alt Achieve blog, which contains a wealth of tech resources for teachers, a Google certified trainer and innovator, one of the leaders of the Google Educators Group of Ohio, and also an author of multiple books. So, Eric Kurtz, welcome to Teaching in Tech.
Hey, thank you so very much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys today. Thanks.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. So as a technology integration specialist, you're working on a little bit bigger scale, working with multiple schools, but you're in a job that's similar to what I do as a tech resource teacher, trying to help with technology integration, help teachers get a little bit more comfortable with the tools that we want them to be using in the classroom. But I'm just curious, as far as your background in education, maybe tell us a little bit about how you got into the profession and what led you to the point that you're at today, being such a big influence in this part of the state in technology integration.
Well, absolutely. So I've been doing this a long time. This is year 33. So I've been at this for a while. I started off as a middle school math teacher. I taught at North Canton Middle School, loved middle school math, taught eighth grade and seventh grade math. I did that for 7 years and really did love it. It was fantastic. Some of my best memories ever. But I also loved technology. And so I was the guy you'd go to in the building if, you know, your printer wasn't working or you had, well, go ask Eric. He'll help, you know. And I was already doing like PD training and stuff for the staff, even though, you know, I was a math teacher, you know, we'd have PD days and I'd be like, oh, I'm happy to do a session on, you know, at that point, Microsoft Word, you know, or whatever it would have been. Well, around that time, so, you know, I taught from 92 to 99, that would have been when suddenly technology started flooding into the schools. We had SchoolNet funding that was designed to get connectivity into all the buildings in Ohio, as well as computers at a ratio of one computer for every 5 students. And so now suddenly, boom, we have technology, we have connectivity, we have computers. And the school, many schools were saying, well, okay, we probably need to hire somebody to help manage this. And North Canton did the same. And so they created a position that now, I mean, some people call it, you know, tech coach, tech integrationist, you know, technology, instructional, you know, core, whatever, you know, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. We called it a technology integration specialist. And so, yeah, I made the switch. I switched from teaching kids to teaching teachers. And I've been doing that ever since. I was at North Canton for another 14 years, so 21 total there, doing anything technology related while I was there. And then I now have been at the county office, you know, since then. So I guess the last 11 on to 12th year there now. At the county office, we support about 35 school districts. So, you know, we still support North Canton, but we support a whole lot of other ones as well. And so that's what I do now. Basically, same kind of thing, supporting teachers and their use of technology, professional development, resources, things like that. Focusing on the districts that we serve here. That's my day job. And then on the side, yeah, I do. I provide training on my own for schools and organizations all around the world. You know, I do a lot of traveling across the country, but I also do a lot of virtual stuff, just kind of depends. But it's really great to be able to do that as well. So yeah, that's kind of what brought me to where I'm at now. And yeah, I've just been sharing stuff. I'm one of those educators, which I really encourage people to be, to just, I like to share stuff, you know, and I encourage people to please do that. Don't think, well, you know, my stuff's not good enough or nobody's going to care. Just, you know, put stuff out there and, you know, somebody's going to benefit from it. And I've just been doing that a really, really, really long time. And so I think that's kind of what got me to the point of where I'm at now. I also do help lead the GEG group. I saw that you mentioned that. So if there's anybody listening that is a Google using school district, we definitely encourage you to check out our Google Educator group, the GEG Ohio group. We do monthly meetings, virtual, where you can, you know, catch up on everything new in Google from the last month. So yeah, that's another big chunk of what I do as well.
So I just was curious, you know, you mentioned your resources that you share, and for a lot of the sessions that I do for our teachers, when I'm looking for a little bit more information about some of the tools that we're using, I've visited Control Alt Achieve many times myself. Yeah. Just curious, how did that all come about? I'm assuming that's probably one of those things that started small and then eventually exploded.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it was just a matter, like I said, of sharing. You know, if I did a training and I'm like, oh, you know, here's this training I put together for the staff, maybe somebody else would benefit from this. Might as well just put it online, you know, or I'm going to a conference, I'm doing a session. I put this much time into putting this presentation together. Maybe somebody else would benefit from it. I'll just put it online. And so I just basically did that for years. And, I mean, I had a number. There was a time when I had a bunch of different websites, because I think that was sort of the thing. You're like, oh, I'm just going to have 5 websites, and this one will be for this, and this one will be for that. Yeah, eventually I saw the error in my way and said, okay, let's put it all on one website. And so Control Alt Achieve, obviously, for those of us that have been around for a long time, we understand that's a play on Control Alt Delete, which on a Windows computer you use to reboot a frozen computer. I thought it would be funny to talk about, you know, rebooting our frozen classes, you know, trying to come up with new ways to energize our education system. And so that's why I picked the name Control Alt Achieve. Probably would have picked something different nowadays, but I thought it was funny back then. Yeah. and it's too late now because it stuck. Yes, Control Alt Achieve just became eventually the central warehouse of anything that I create. I just put it there. You know, there's a running blog with, I think, over 700 blog posts there now. But then there's also a page of webinars with recorded webinars. There's a resource page with just tons and tons of slideshows and templates and documents, and just there's a lot of stuff there. And so that's the place to go if you want to poke around and see all the stuff that I've been sharing. And if you're not sure where to begin, you know, there's a search bar on the side. You can use that. You can, you know, navigate through the tabs as well. And I always encourage people to sign up for my email newsletter, because that's an easy way to stay up to date on what new things I put on the site. It's easy to forget, hey, I haven't checked the site, you know, in months or something. Well, if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get like an email once a week saying, hey, here's the new stuff. You know, it's just a nice, easy way to stay in the loop. Yeah.
Yeah, in my role, that's a huge help, just because new things as they come out, you know, you get that weekly email in the inbox and just an idea of what's out there and what's available. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I was poking around through your site as well, and I think it's even just the search feature is great. We get a lot of teachers that in their mind they got something, but they don't know how to bring it together, right? And just being able to kind of just go and have that resource to just search a library of everything that you've done. I mean, you are a resource in itself, right? But everything that you have, I mean, it's great work.
Well, I appreciate that, really. But it is a matter of trying to duplicate ourselves, you know, yep. And that's necessary. You know, when I was at the district, that was one thing. When I went to the county, I realized, you know, how will I reach all of these schools? it's going to have to be recorded webinars. It's going to have to be, you know, documents and slideshows and templates and blog posts, because I can't get to everybody. It's just not possible. And so I think that fits the job well, but I think it's just a good philosophy in general. Yeah. I mean, if you take the time to create something for a training, that's kind of my philosophy, is just put it out there. Or if you, you know, come across something cool and you want to share it, just share it. Just put it out there. Somebody's going to benefit from it.
Yeah. I think one thing that's really changed in terms of sharing resources too, the advent of the screen recording. Early on when we were doing a lot of screenshots and slide decks and that type of thing, it's helpful for visual learners in some ways, but also every time something's updated or, you know, the interface changes, that makes it tough for some people who are, you know, a little more process oriented. And so to go through and just do a screen recording, you can bring up any tool, walk them through it, and then give them something that they can watch and get the visual and get the auditory part of it, you know, kind of together.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of great, great tools for that. We have come a long way with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to do things a little bit differently in this episode. Normally with a classroom teacher, we're looking for some of their most effective strategies and things that have had the biggest impact with students. But in your case, where you're working with teachers and with school districts, and we're here at the beginning of another school year, we're going to just talk a little bit about some of the tools that you're most excited about and you think will have the biggest impact for teachers as they integrate technology with their students. So let's go ahead and delve into that. What are some of the things you think are must-haves for teachers as we start off a school year?
Absolutely. So heads up, I'll be talking about AI things pretty much for the entire time. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff outside of AI, but right now that is without a doubt something that is really making a massive impact in education. I do a lot of other trainings on, you know, Google tools and accessibility tools and things like that. So all that stuff's still there. It's all there on my site and there's still great stuff there. But I'm going to talk about some AI tools, and I'm sure you guys will throw a link for folks in the show notes, but I'll just shout it out real quick. Probably the easiest way to get to those things, if you're a Bitly user, for short links, bit.ly/Eric-AI. So just that bit.ly/Eric-AI, that'll get you to a page that has everything that I've put out AI related, all my videos, all my documents, all my tool, everything's there. So what I'm going to share here, you can find there. So the first tool that I'm going to share, you know, three different tools. The first one, I'm going to cheat. And so it's not going to be a single tool. It's going to be a category of tool. And that's basically what I would say is the first tool you need to be using is an AI chatbot. You need to be using a large language model in your daily life. By that, I mean ChatGPT or Copilot from Microsoft or Google Gemini or Claude from Anthropic or Pi or Mistral or Meta. I mean, there are so many of them out there.
Perplexity would be another one.
Perplexity would be a good example. And so what I mean by that is, you know, it's something that is such a powerful tool now to act as a assistant. AI is not intended, well, I don't think it should be intended to take your job, nor is it intended to do your job. So it's not there to do your job, it's to help you do your job better. It's there to be an assistant that comes alongside you, and maybe it saves you time. Maybe it, you know, helps you brainstorm something or generate a rough draft for a lesson plan, a rubric, a choice board, DOK level questions, whatever the case is. So maybe it's saving you time. So you can then take that time and spend that connecting with your students, or you're taking care of other things you need to do, or maybe self-care. How about that? How about some self-care?
Yeah,
you
know? Right.
Or it could be that the AI is just helping you, like I said, brainstorm and think of things you might not think of on your own, get some other ideas in there. The idea being that if you use a tool like ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude, I encourage people just to use it in their daily life, even if it's not educational related. Just if you've got a question, pop on over to one of those tools and ask it that question. I do that for things that have nothing to do with education, just things in my daily life, because it helps me learn about the tool and realize what it can and can't do. Now, the great thing about these is they're free. Yes, there's a paid version. They all have a paid version, but you don't have to pay for these tools, and you can sign up for all of them. So if you run out of chats on one of them during the day, jump over to another and start using it. Plus, I think it's good to be able to compare them and see what the strengths and weaknesses of the different tools are. So that would be my first thing, is I would just say, have these accounts set up on these AI chatbots, and anything that you do, just your normal daily, I've got to do a lesson plan, I've got to grade things, I've got to come up with some questions, or whatever it is, just get in the habit of just running it through one of these and just seeing what kind of feedback you get, and let that be your co-teacher. When I was in college, I worked as a TA, as a teacher's assistant, and that helped pay for college while I was in college. And I graded papers, prepared materials, things like that for one of the professors. Then when I became a public school teacher, I'm like, hey, where's my TA? Well, now we finally have one. You finally have a tool that can come alongside and be an assistant. And again, it is not doing your work for you. It's helping you do your work better. It's there to assist you. You still have your responsibility to check what it outputs. Don't just take something and just share that out with the students, you know, personalize it, put your own spin on it, you know, your students, but use it as like, if you had a coworker that you were, that's how I think of it. It's, it's a coworker. So that's my first one is, and you know, it may sound a little silly, maybe a couple of years from now, people listen back to this, are like, well, everybody uses one of these. We're not there yet, though. When I do trainings, and I do so many AI trainings, a lot of times I'll start with a quick show of hands because I just want to see where people are at, who's used ChatGPT, who's used Gemini, Claude, whatever. I would say in general, we're still hovering around 50% for people who have used them. Now, that's good, but that means half of our teachers have never touched one of these AI tools, and they need to be doing that. And for those
if you were going to compare that to, if you would ask in the room, how many people have done a Google search in the last week, you'd probably get 100%. So when you're looking at 50, that's a pretty big gap. You know, one other thing that I thought of too, if you think about over time, you know, you've mentioned your years in the profession, you know, I'm in the mid 20s now, as far as years in the profession, you think about how the responsibilities have changed. And so many more things are added each year that teachers are responsible for, as far as individualized learning for students and individual needs, and in addition to duties around the building. You know, it wouldn't be ridiculous with the workload to say each teacher could use really an administrative assistant for all the other tasks that go along with it. So having this type of tool available, it really is a game changer in education.
Yeah. And you know what, Chad, I think about what, you know, the conversations we've had, there's like a layer of fear that's keeping people back from even playing with it. Right. You know, Eric, I thought it was great that you pointed out, just use it in your daily life, ask it questions, just even something that is, you know, non-threatening, and absolutely, and then kind of integrate it in. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about it, the resources itself. I mean, even just to upload a document and say, give me 5 questions with scaffolding DOK levels that, would summarize this article.
Right.
Right. I mean,
there you go. Yeah. And a tool like ChatGPT, the ability to upload files, that's part of the free version. You can do that for free. You can upload a PDF or upload something and say, you know, help me re-level this, or, you know, let's, you know, generate a choice board of activities that a student could do to learn this information, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So, I had a teacher who was an intervention specialist who actually wanted to do some trials based on like the IEPs on algebra problems, but he didn't want any X or Y variables because they could just plug that into Desmos and kind of skip some steps. So as you're talking about with uploading a document, he had a PDF with all of his equations, and we put that into Gemini and just said, okay, rewrite these, but don't use X or Y for any of the variables. And lo and behold, you know, generated a doc. He was able to copy and paste his equations out of there, and he was already prepared to retype the whole thing. And something that would have taken him a lot of busy work and a lot of time was done in about,
you know, that's it. I mean, I know sometimes I get really excited about the massively transformative ways we can use these tools, but there is nothing wrong with saving time, you know,
not at all.
I say, silly aside example, like I'm a big tabletop gamer. Like, I love board games and card games. And so off to the side in my office here, I've got bookshelves just stacked with games, board games. And I kept saying, you know, one of these days I've got to make a list of those. I just need to have a list so that if anybody ever wants to buy me a present, I can say, well, as long as it's not on this list or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, but I'd never felt like taking the time to type them in. I said, wait a second. So I took my phone and I took a picture of each of the bookshelves. I uploaded the pictures into ChatGPT and just said, hey, these are pictures of my board games. Create a spreadsheet for me of these. And it went through the pictures. It figured out every game. It created a spreadsheet with the not just the title of the game, but the publisher, the genre, how many minutes it should be played, the number of players that it's recommended for. And it made me this whole spreadsheet. You know, and I know it sounds like kind of a silly thing, but apply that to anything we're doing. And suddenly we've been given back time, you know, to do more, to go deeper into things. So yeah, use it in your daily life. And having said that, though, let's use this as a segue to tool two, because I do get the hesitancy. I do understand, hey, Eric, this sounds great, but I go to ChatGPT and I see this blinking cursor. I don't know what to type in. Now, again, we're telling you, just type, just talk to it, just treat it like a regular person and you'll be fine. But I do get that. So if I had to pick, which was kind of what happened here today, okay, pick three things, you know. So the second thing I would recommend is a tool called Brisk Teaching. So this is like the Swiss Army knife of AI tools. Brisk Teaching is easily one of my favorite AI tools that is out there. So basically what Brisk is, it is a Chrome extension. So heads up, you do have to install this, which means you're going to have to talk to your tech folks, make sure it's on the approved list, all those kind of things. That's true with any tool we're talking about, but especially a Chrome extension. Now, as with everything I share, it has a robust free version. I do not ever in any of my trainings, I never have shared things that are just locked behind a paywall. So if I'm sharing a tool, there has to be a robust free version of it. Hey, it's fine if they have a paid version. They got to make money. They have to, you know, I want them to succeed and keep doing new things. So please do, if you like it enough, do pay for it. But Brisk, it's an extension. And once you've got it installed, here's the cool thing. Instead of you having to say, you know what, I need to take this article I'm reading and go over to ChatGPT and say, hey, ChatGPT, can you now help me with this? I need to copy and paste it, whatever. Brisk follows you. It's an extension. So everywhere you go, it's there with you. And Brisk does five things. Five categories of things. The first thing it does is create content. So I can be on a website, I can be on a YouTube video, I can be in a Google Doc, and I can click the create button down in Brisk, and I can create a quiz on that content. I can create a slideshow on the content. I can make a lesson plan, a rubric. I can make DOK questions. It really is that simple. I can literally just be like, oh, I'm reading this article that my students need to read. Click Brisk, click create, click quiz, and say, okay, give me 10 multiple choice questions. Boom, it creates the Google form, completely done. Or make a slideshow for me, 10 slides, whatever. Boom, it creates the Google slideshow. Now, again, I'm not saying that you just take that and run with it. That's the beginning. You still have your piece of the pie. You got to check it. You got to make sure it's accurate. You need to add your personality into it. But it has laid that groundwork. It has made the initial document or slideshow or Google form or whatever. So that's the first thing it does is create. The second thing it does is it re-levels. So again, if I'm on that article, I can say, let's re-level it. Let's put this at a fourth grade reading level, and it will rewrite the article into a Google document at a new grade level, and I can share that out. The third thing it does is it provides feedback on student writing. So if I'm in a Google document, I can click on Brisk and say, I want to give feedback. And there's like four different kinds of feedback you can give. You can upload a rubric if you want, you don't have to, but you can click on that and it will generate personalized feedback for that student's writing based upon whatever guidance you've given it. And you can just insert that right in, or you can copy and paste it, or you can just pull from it however you want. The fourth thing it does is it helps to do what they call inspect writing. If there's a concern that a student has maybe been cheating with AI and they've been writing an essay, but they really themselves maybe didn't write it, maybe they copied and pasted it from somewhere, you can click on Brisk and click inspect writing. And what it does is it plays back a video pulled from version history, and it shows you the entire creation of the document. And if the student ever pasted something, it shows you exactly in the timestamp where they pasted and what they pasted in there. So that's great. And then the fifth and final thing it does is brand new. If you think you know Brisk, you maybe have not even heard of this new thing it does. It does what's called boosting. And so the boost option is to create student activities. And so basically I can go to a YouTube video, I can go to an article, I can go to a document, I can say I want to boost the article or the document or whatever it is. And what it does is it lets you create a student-facing activity. And so I can say I want to have the a custom AI chatbot that's going to talk to the students about this article. Maybe it's going to be, you know, an exit ticket based on the article, or maybe it's going to be a tutor that covers the content in the article. Maybe you could do this. You can go to a Google Form quiz and boost it and basically build a tutor to help prepare the students for the quiz they're going to
quiz.
Yeah. So basically it's making a custom AI chatbot. You give the students a link, they click the link, and that's it. They get to talk to the chatbot, and you get to monitor everything the student types and everything the chatbot responds
with. Yeah.
This is one tool, and everything I just mentioned is free. None of that in the paid version. There's even more stuff in the paid version. That's free. I mean, I just can't wrap my brain around it. So if you're like, okay, I think AI is cool, I'm a little intimidated, whatever, there's a lot of things to help you with that. This is definitely one of those things. Brisk is going to come alongside you and help you and make this a much more smooth transition into the AI world and really make some serious impacts on what you do as a teacher.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about that boost feature and how many lessons that I developed as a middle school science teacher over the years that involved finding a cool video or finding like an article or something that I thought would be a good springboard and then spending hours like building and developing that. And you think about the efficiency of being able to get that kickstart by just uploading that video and then asking for a certain type of activity. That's revolutionary for a teacher.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. It's funny. You bring up Brisk. As soon as we started talking about it, I actually got into it a little bit at the end of the summer, and they have, I think it was a seven day or 14 day free trial of the premium.
Yeah.
And then I lost the premium, and I didn't realize I lost the premium because there's that much to it. Right.
That's like, such a great testimony. I love that. You didn't even realize that the premium ran out because the free version is so generous.
So good. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. The big one was the change of level, right? When we were talking, you know, meeting the kids where they're at and things like even just that slight adjustment, helping our EL students transition, right? Learning the English language.
Yep.
That was a blanket one that we were able to share or talk about in small departments. And this resource I think would be one of the most just well-received pieces. Cause like you said, I think when you get to a chatbot, it's very difficult to, what do I say? What do I talk about?
Yeah.
And you get like that writer's block. Like it's too many possibilities. I don't know which one. Where here it can be very directive based on what I'm at currently.
And I love what you say, it's what you're at because it follows you. There's always this little teeny Brisk circle down in the bottom right corner, just following you around everywhere you go. And you don't have to think, oh, I should take this over to ChatGPT. Like, huh, let's just Brisk it. Let's go down and click it and let's see what we can do with this content. So, okay. Now, if you want to go a little deeper into the fifth thing I mentioned there, the boosting part of it, that brings us to our third tool. So as much as I love what Brisk is doing with it, there's another tool that kind of paved the way for the student-facing AI activities, and that would be School AI. Now, there is another tool very similarly named Magic School AI. I think it is wonderful, no negatives there, and it does some similar things as well, but I'm talking about School AI specifically here. And this is where we start to transition really from just how AI can help you as a teacher to how AI can help your students. And we've started to kind of pass the baton there with Brisk. We saw a little bit of both. Well, School AI is a student-facing AI tool. Now, right away, you may say, well, Eric, how's that possible? My students are too young. Don't you have to be like 13 to have an AI account and things like that? Understandable. And that's why School AI does what they do. So here's the thing. School AI, students do not sign up for an account. Students do not give email addresses. You sign up for an account, and then the students join pretty much anonymously to a link you give them. And everything the students end up typing in, it's all anonymized. So when it goes out to the AI and the content comes back, it's not connected to a student. And they have it set up so that the AI that they're using, which I believe is ChatGPT on the background, is instructed that it is not allowed to retain the chats that are sent to it. So it's all, you know, gotten rid of afterwards. They can't train with it. They can't keep it. School AI, though, does keep it for you. You can see everything the AI said, everything the students said, so you can monitor it. So what you end up with here is a school safe, COPPA, FERPA, GDPR compliant type tool that kindergartners can use, 12th graders can use, anybody can use. So what does it do? So basically, it's custom chatbots. That's what it is. It's kind of like what Brisk was doing with the Boost thing, just on a much larger level. So what you can do is you can go in and either pick a pre-made custom chatbot, or you can modify an existing chatbot, or you can create one from scratch on your own. And by the pre-made ones, what I mean, they have thousands of these. They've got chat with a historical figure. You know, they've got all these historical figures. You can have your students chat with Abraham Lincoln, or, you know, chat with, you know, King Tut or whoever. You can have them do book talks where they talk about a book they're reading with the AI. They have tutors. They've got, you know, an AI math tutor, science tutor, social studies tutor, and the students can talk to the tutors.
I believe there's even an ACT tutor mixed in there where they can prep for ACT and SAT.
Absolutely. Teaching. Yes. Yeah. They've got bell ringers. They've got exit tickets. They've got topics. They've got some also that are just standards aligned. You can now go in and pick Ohio, for example, or whatever state people are in. They can pick the subject, the grade, and they have pre-made custom chatbots for every single indicator in the standards. Wow. So you've already got, you know, two or three choices to go with to help students engage with their academic content standards. So you can go with the pre-made ones, or you can modify one. You can say, you know what, I can't find the historical figure that I want. Well, pick the generic historical figure one and just type in your own person. Type in who you want, give it a couple other instructions if you want to give it some guidance, and away you go. Or you can just do a blank one and just type the whole thing from scratch. No coding, nothing like that. Just basically tell it what you want. Like I had a teacher who wanted some help for their students with writing limericks. And so basically we made a limerick bot. We just went with the blank bot and said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to help students write a limerick. Do not write the limerick for the student. Instead, make sure they know what a limerick is, help them brainstorm ideas for their limerick, give them feedback as they're writing, help them with rhymes if they are having trouble with rhymes. And that's it, you know. And basically we built this bot, and as simple as that, the students could then interact with it and it would walk them through the whole process and support them while they're writing it. So that's what you do. You either pick a pre-made one or make your own or customize one, and you just get a link. It's nothing but a link. Wow, you just give the link out to the students, put it in Classroom or Schoology or Canvas or wherever you want it. They click the link. They do not log in. They do not put an email address in. They just type their name. It could just be their first name, their initials, whatever you want them to type in. And that's it. They start chatting with the chat bot and it records everything for you. So you can go in and you can read those conversations. I've had teachers tell me they have learned things about their students they had no way of knowing otherwise, because maybe it's a quiet student who doesn't speak up a lot in class, and suddenly you're like, oh, I didn't know they were struggling with this concept. Or, oh, I didn't know they did understand that. Or, oh, I didn't know this was something they were really interested in. And so now you're getting all of this insight. Here we have technology actually helping increase your connection to your students, because you're getting to know them better. And what we're really getting into here is differentiation. We're getting into personalized learning. Because let's face it, listen, every teacher is doing their best to reach their students. There, no slight to any teacher whatsoever, but you have limits. There's only so much you can do. There's one of you, 125 of them. There are limits. Well, if this AI comes alongside now, you can have these AI chatbots that can help fill in some of those gaps. Let's say it's the evening, it's the weekend. Well, you can't be there for them. They could click on the science AI chatbot tutor and they could get some help with their science homework. Not only do they get help, but you now have a record of that conversation and you realize, these are the things my students are struggling with. Yeah. Or in class, let's say you want all your students to have a chat with Abraham Lincoln. Well, maybe they're interested in different aspects. Well, each one now gets to have their own personal conversation and dig into the thing they're excited about. Now it becomes personalized learning, or it helps support those that are struggling, those that are doing well, it helps them go further. And so that's what I love about this, is it's so thoughtfully constructed, the way they put it together. It's so easy to use.
Oh yeah.
And you're getting personalized learning for students and you're getting actionable insights for you as an educator.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing I thought with looking at all those tools, and one of them that I introduced to our teachers right away when that was made available, was the idea of those bell ringers. And I think back to my time as a teacher, my bell ringers, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, were really just busy work, because by the time you collect all that information as the kids work on their warm-up problems, you teach your class, and then Guess what? The next day you're starting all over again with another bell ringer to actually get like real-time feedback on the pulse of the class And how individual students are doing. I mean, there's no other, it's an incredible advance in what you can actually do with the information you get.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's funny as you're talking about it, I'm sitting here and I just keep thinking about the opportunities that you can provide experiences to kids in the classroom. Right. And they're authentic experiences, right? Even though it's a chat bot, it's collecting all this information to then respond. You know, I think of the political figures or the famous figures, right? They're responding in a way that person would based on the historical data that they have about them.
Right.
And it's creating that opportunity for a kid that they would never have.
And again, I'm very I consider myself a optimistic realist. I see the problems. I see The potential issues. I try to push the needle toward the positive. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with you. I do need to, though, for the sake of balance, say, please, please, please always make sure when you do this with your students to remind them this is an AI.
Right.
It can make mistakes. It can have biases. There can be inaccuracies. Mm-hmm. And I know I've heard some people express understandable concerns about this, which I agree with. I know there can be inaccuracies and biases. Yep. But some folks have said, well, that's why we can't do this. That's why we can't do this with students. I go the other direction and I say, no, it's not a problem. It's an opportunity. This is why we need to do this with our students, because they need to learn critical thinking skills when it relates to digital literacy. The AI genie is out of the bottle. It is not going back in. Our students are already using this, or they're going to be using this for the rest of their lives. Nothing we do or don't do is going to stop that. If they're going to be facing AI tools that might share inaccurate information from time to time, or may have a bias or whatever, what better place to learn the critical thinking skills to properly process that than our classroom? Right. We need to be doing this with our students. And if something does pop up on the AI chatbot that's not quite right, don't panic. Be like, let's talk about this. This is a perfect teaching opportunity to say, well, why do you think it said that? Why might the AI have come up with that? And how can we ask a follow-up question to clarify this? And so encouraging our students to be skeptical, to be critical thinkers, to not just believe it because it's on the internet. That's more important now than it's ever been. And so please don't be afraid to do these activities because of that. Realize this is another way to help actually teach our students these critical skills.
Which speaks to the importance of the teacher in the room, right? You preface this with, it is not replacing the teacher.
Yes. And
right there is another layer of importance as to why the teacher is still there.
Absolutely. Right?
You know, the other thing I think about with school AI, the beauty of it is it describes itself as AI with guardrails. So it is, being that it's designed for school, I can feel a lot more confident in turning my students loose with a chatbot as opposed to ChatGPT or Gemini or one of those that's just really a wide open LLM. And that also actually made me think and wondering, Eric, with all the districts you work with, are there any districts that are allowing any of these LLMs that are not blocked on their school networks at this point?
I am not sure. I work with so many schools, either locally through my day job or, you know, throughout the country in my consulting work. I am not sure who the, let's put it this way. A lot of schools are figuring this out right now. True. There's a lot of work being done on policies, guidelines, getting things approved. The simple fact is there are many schools using Brisk, using school AI. They have, you know, I don't know, tens of thousands, if not more, customers. So yes, they are being used. But to be able to point to a local school, not off the top of my head, but I guarantee you they are. I just don't have them at the tip of my tongue to say which ones are using which tools.
Well, the only reason I was curious is just from a standpoint of a teacher's perspective. Like in our current situation, we're still trying to develop our policy of how we're going to handle like just the chat bots in general. So your Geminis and ChatGPTs. And, you know, so from a teaching standpoint, if they want to actually log in and try that out, then they're going to need to use a personal account as opposed to a school one. So, you know, in the early going for some of our teachers, that's not necessarily a barrier that's insurmountable, but something that they have to kind of work around, where you can't just, in a lot of cases in a school, sit down at your desk at lunch and get on ChatGPT on your school device with a school account.
Absolutely. And yeah, please, with anything I ever share, always follow the guidance of your district. always follow the guidance of your district. If districts are looking for some models, though, with that, there's a lot of great ones out there. On my AI page I shared earlier, one of my blog posts is all about AI guidelines and policies, where I've tried to pull together a wide range of AI policy frameworks, examples from schools. There's so many great examples out there that you can pull from as a district or a classroom to build off of and not reinvent the wheel from, you know, from step one.
Yeah. I'm getting started with a potential AI policy for, you know, our setting. I went to Gemini and just gave it all the specifics of what I was looking for. And as far as just a good starting point to get an idea of what it might look like. And, you know, that's where that idea of what you're starting to hear about, the 80-20 rule and the idea of, you know, let the AI do 80% of it and then you customize and personalize it to make it what you want. So,
yes. Yeah. Love it.
All right. Well, with all that being said, you know, we usually like to finish out these episodes just with our guests giving some advice that they might have, you know, and in your case, it might be for a teacher who's resistant to integrating technology or maybe trying to, but feeling like they're not maximizing, you know, using the technology with students. What kind of advice would you give them?
Yeah. So poke a stick at it. That's my phrase. So actually one of the keynotes that I do is called Poke a Stick at It. And I've got a blog post. It's, you know, we can throw a link to that out there for folks as well too. Basically what it comes down to is I try to encourage people to understand a couple of key facts. One is you can't know everything. We just need to own that. And you may say, well, Eric, you're not telling me something I don't already know. That's what I'm worried about. But I'm saying it's okay. It's okay not to know everything. That's fine. Things will go wrong. Technology will not always work. But those things should not hold us back, because if they do, you'll never move forward. If you're waiting until you have passed every certification and you understand it inside and out, and there's a guarantee the technology will never fail, you'll never begin. So what I encourage people to do is find a tool. Don't get over. I know we mentioned a bunch of things. Just pick one. Pick one tool and try it out. Poke a stick at it. What I mean by that is just use it. Use it for an activity. Use it in your daily life. And here's the thing. If you're up in front of the students and something goes wrong, again, that's not a problem. Yeah, it's frustrating. I understand that. And we want to try to be as prepared as we can be and all that. But if it happens, and it will, use that as a teachable moment. And what I mean by that is, it's so important. We want our students to be lifelong learners, don't we? That's kind of a goal. We want to build, right. I think a lot of schools would agree, we're trying to build lifelong learners. Well, what better way than to be a model of one yourself? So if you're standing up in front of the class and there's something that goes wrong with the technology, or you don't know how to do something, there's, you know, something is going on in school AI or Brisk or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm not sure where to click. Don't get embarrassed. Don't think you're going to look silly or stupid or unprepared. You're going to look like a learner. You're going to show them, you're going to model them and just say, hey guys, how can we figure this out? What's going on here? Let's poke a stick at it. Who knows what to do? And the students can help teach, and that's okay, you know? Yeah. And so that's, I guess it's easier said than done, but that's my encouragement to you is, those of us who you look at, you say, wow, well, Eric, you know all this stuff. No, I just poke a stick at things. When we talked about the path I took to get to where I'm at, I do not have a degree in technology. I have a degree in mathematics. I never got a degree past that. I don't have a master's in technology or a PhD or anything. I've learned things by poking a stick at them. You know, it's like there was a problem. Okay, let's see. Let's just start clicking the menus and see what happens here. Yep. And that's okay. And so I don't want people to feel like they have to have mastered things to benefit from the technology. And so that would be my encouragement to you. You're going to be a great model to your students while you do it as well.
Well, I think that's great advice. You're not going to get in those menus and trying it out. You're not going to break anything. No. You're not going to do any damage that you can't back up from. So I like it. Poke a stick at it.
You got it.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time today and coming on. I think there's some great things there that teachers can try out and dive into in their own classroom, and I think will be beneficial to our listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Absolute pleasure. Thank you guys for what you do. You're doing the same thing I said at the beginning. You're putting stuff out there. You're making a difference, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate your time and sharing your resources. Like I said, you have a lot of great stuff out there and a lot of great tips and advice, especially the poke a stick at it piece.
We hope you've gained some ideas for tech integration in your own classroom from this episode.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast, please remember to subscribe, rate, and write us a review. You can find all episodes of Teaching in Tech with Alan and Chad on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.